Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 166, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry to thee by all, shall prayer be made, and what follows. Psalter 166, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 3, the verses 14 through 22. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 3, beginning with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be with me, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Harvey DeCock, who was scheduled for back surgery this week in Mexico. Mrs. Ellie Henderson, who was scheduled for a hip replacement this week in Quebec City. Mr. and Mrs. Richard and Sierra DeCock were blessed with a baby daughter. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the God of all grace, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, from whence every good and perfect gift comes, then thou art that ever faithful and that ever good doing God, where also in the past week, then thou wast graciously spared and cared. Thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, but we may still be in the precious day of grace. And then thou wast showered us and our children in the midst of all the trials of life. Then thou wast showered us and our children with many blessings from above, blessings which so many of our fellow travelers must miss. And then it is written in thy holy word, and who maketh thee to differ? Oh, it is also written that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then surely also in this past week, then thy patient long suffering has been great over us, where thou wert so majestic, so holy, high and lifted up, of pure eyes than to behold evil, and thou canst not look on iniquity. Then notwithstanding all our sins, which are great and manifold, then thou wast still graciously watched over us. Oh, then how fitting it is each day that it may be a thanksgiving day for us and our children. But, Lord, thou knowest in our deep fall that we have lost thy image, that we have become so thankless, that we have become a sinful and a guilty people. And may that also be experienced in this day. Oh, we are a sinful people, but that we may also be a guilty people, a transgressors from the womb, and transgressors of all thy commandments. Lord, we humbly ask thee in this morning hour, that thou may dwell richly in our midst, that thou may stretch out thy almighty arm, and that sinners may be saved, that it may please thee to bless thy holy word, to that end in this morning hour, that it may go forth with power divine, that we may not only hear it with our ears, oh, there can also be much hindrance in that way, but that we may be given to perceive it with our hearts. To that end, may in this day, may it please thee, that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee, that they may become those true seekers, oh, to come on the marketplace of free and sovereign grace, and to learn everything that is of self, that it has no value, but where thou wast sent thy dear Son, where he has paid the price, where justice has been satisfied, and a way has been made, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Lord, it is so indispensable that by the precious work of thy Holy Spirit, that we indeed become the chiefest of sinners, that we learn that we cannot save ourselves. May a few have come up in this morning hour, hungering and thirsting after thy righteousness, with a beggar's prayer, that even they may receive a little crumb from the Master's table, because what cometh from above, that is so great, remember thy people. Wilt thou grant the strengthening of their faith? May on this day, may it please thee, to remember all those that labor in thy vineyard. Remember all thy servants, remember the students, especially him that may speak an edifying word. Remember also mission, our mission field wherein this week in Bolivia elections are held. May it please thee to remember that country and to watch over our mission field. Lord, remember the many blessings where it has pleased thee in this past week to grant unto a young married couple for the first time in their married life that thou wast blessed them with the birth of a little daughter. Oh, may it please thee to grant a low place at thy footstool that the tears may flow, that they may be given to bewonder thy goodness, but also a solemn impression, a little child, which had a beginning and which shall never cease to exist, a child born for a never-ending eternity. May she be born to be born again. Wilt thou remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with an increased blessing, but also an increased responsibility. We commend unto thee the barren ones amongst us. Grant them a place at thy footstool. Remember all the unborn. Wilt thou watch over the mothers? Lord, remember the sick and the afflicted. A father that hopes to travel to a faraway place to undergo surgery, wilt thou go with him? May thou bless the hands of the physician, and that the means may be blessed, that he may return with a rejoiceful heart, and to be given to end in thee, remember him together with his wife and children, that the callings may be sanctified. A widow also hopes to travel to a faraway place for surgery. Wilt thou also go with her? Her daughter hopes to go along. Lord, may it please thee to bless the means and to sanctify the callings. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember the sick relatives, the different circumstances. They are known unto Thee. We commend unto Thee the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt Thou continue to uphold them? Remember all our elderly ones in the care home at home. Those that may go in and out, remember them. In the evening of their life, wilt Thou be mindful of the handicapped ones with their infirmities, O Lord. Wilt Thou grant courage, may their eyes be upon Thee. And above all, be mindful of their never-dying souls. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, then we humbly ask of Thee for Thy gracious help. And make it an easy task, anoint with fresh oil from above. Wilt Thou remember all the listeners, go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. Wilt Thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, the buyers and sellers, spiritually, temporally, the tiredness of the body bind the devil, and, Lord, that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of Thy kingdom and for the glory of Thy name. May our eyes truly be upon Thee. May our help and expectation be from Thee. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 253, the stanzas 4 through 7. Be wise, ye fools and brutish men. Shall not he see who formed the eye? Shall not he hear who formed the ear? And judge who reigneth God most high? And what follows, 253, the stanzas 4 through 7. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, Revelation 3, the verses 14 through 22. And this morning, we shall read the verses 19 through 22. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our text words speak of the letter to Laodicea, the lukewarm church, with five thoughts. In the first place, the church's true condition. In the second place, the church's deluded opinion. In the third place, Christ's precious counsel. In the fourth place, Christ's serious knocking. And in the fifth place, Christ's everlasting triumph. Beloved congregation, the past Lord's Day, then we have heard of that precious counsel, which has come to this particular church, that speaks of the marketplace of free and sovereign grace. And then, children, you can remember, when there is spoken in our text of abiding, then we must not understand it literally, as if we can give something, earn something to give to the Lord, and that he shall be satisfied, and then he shall give us grace. No, that is not the meaning. Because we have heard that in Isaiah 55 verse 1, therefore that thirsty people, that they must come without money and without price. For that hungering and thirsting people, are there a few in my midst in this morning hour? Then what a wonder it becomes, that on that marketplace, that it is all without money and without price. And how does the church now learn it? That is in the way of experience. And then the Spirit in the way of deeper uncovering. Then they shall learn with all their doing and not doing, that they are still a guilty and a hell-worthy sinner. Then the room is made for that precious mediator who was speaking in our text, who was that Amen, that faithful and true witness. But when we read of buying, then it does speak of an exchange. And what a blessed exchange that is. Then a guilty people, they come with a confession of their sins and of their great guilt, original and actual sins, and then that blessed mediator, he has taken them all upon him. He has satisfied justice. He has merited an everlasting righteousness for his child. Thus, what a blessed exchange. Then a child of God, that is the wonder of grace, and that wonder only becomes greater, that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was willing to take all the sins of his people, that he has merited that righteousness, and that the child may receive. Ah, then we have heard it, gold tried in the fire, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, especially on the cross of Calvary. Oh, he was pure gold, no original and no actual sin, but he has taken the dross of all his people upon him. But now on the cross of Calvary, then he was tried, then he was purified. He has satisfied justice and merited that righteousness for his child. Ah, then we have heard of that white raiment to cover their nakedness. The Lord has a people that learned that they are so naked, that they have no shelter, that they have no refuge. But now the Christ counsels them to buy right white raiment tried in the fire, and further anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Ah, that was not strange to that congregation, because they tell us that in that city that they have manufactured a special powder for weak eyes. And now what could be the question when we read the third point? First gold, and then white raiment, and then eye salve. Then maybe are those that think that it would have been better that that eye salve was placed first, and then the other two. Ah, the church learns that they are so dependent upon the Spirit for everything. And with everything that they have received, all the benefits and all the blessings, that they need that continual application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that they may see more of the riches of that gold and of that raiment, and that they may continue as beggars, oh, each time by renewal, as those brothers of Joseph, when their sacks have become empty, that they have went to Joseph that they may be filled. Thus I counsel thee to buy. And have we now ever come in that marketplace congregation? That is now the most important question in this morning hour. Have we ever received the need for that marketplace? Have we become concerned about our never-dying soul, or are we still satisfied with the things here below, still satisfied with our life, still satisfied with our religion? And are we still so busy on the marketplace of this world, gathering our goods together, that perhaps we have no time to come on this marketplace? And do you know why we do not have time, congregation? Because we do not see the need to purchase these things on this marketplace. We do not believe that it is true. I have read many years ago, there was a rich landlord that had many tenants. And those renters, they had a little house and a little portion of land. And that year, the crops had not been very good. Thus, there were many of those renters that could not pay their debt, and that have come in great distress. And the landlord, he has realized the distress of those renters, and he had a liberal heart. Thus, what has that landlord done? Then he has sent a letter to each of his tenants that on a certain day in the morning, from 10 to 12 o'clock, they could come to a certain building, and then they must knock on the door, and that all their debts would be paid. That was a rich offer. And then in that morning, Indeed, many have come, and they have spoken to one another about their debts, who had the most debt maybe, and they have also questioned whether it was now really true what was written in this letter, because it seemed too great for them. And then they have spent their time talking, but they did not enter that building, so our boys and girls can understand that their debts were not paid. And then shortly before 12, there came a very old father and mother. They had labored diligently all their life, but because of circumstances, because of the crop failure, they have had many debts. And then that old father and old mother, then they have knocked on that door. They were let in. They were given a seat. And then the landlord said to his treasurers that he must write on all those bills paid in full, and that he would pay those bills. And then they have been dismissed at 12 o'clock. And then all those that were standing outside, then they have asked that old father and old mother whether it was now true. And then they have showed them all paid in full. But then it was 12 o'clock. And then it was too late for the rest. Is that still our picture, congregation? That we are thinking about these things, maybe speaking hopefully in our family circles, but that we put it off to come on that marketplace of free and sovereign grace. May you be given to beg much for the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may be given to experience those wonderful things are to come, because not one true child of God has come in vain. Oh, it is true, when they still come with their own gold, with their own works, and when they still come with their own raiment, then they are sent away. It is true, the Lord in that way grants encouragement, but the Holy Spirit shall grant deeper uncovery, that they come as a bankrupt sinner, with a confession of their sins, with a confession of their guilt, I counsel thee to buy. But now further, then Christ has written to that church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The worst for a child of God, at least when it is lively, because so often a child of God can live so easy under that silence when they do not receive those special tokens of the Lord's favor, when they do not hear a special voice. But the worst for a child of God, that is the same thing in a family circle. Just imagine children, if you had a day that your father and mother would not speak to you, then you would be greatly troubled. And then I think eventually you would go to father and mother, say, Father and mother, have I now done something very wrong, that you do not speak to me, and that you do not smile at me? But now the Lord said unto that lukewarm church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The Lord many times need to chasten his child, to make them more dependent, to bring them by renewal, because it can be on that marketplace, the throne of grace. Oh, it is true, the church is still form and duty, but the life is out of it. But now Christ has said, as many as I love, all I rebuke and chasten. And the Lord has many ways to chasten a child. Many times in the life of a child of God, what they set their heart most upon, the things that draw their heart away from the Savior, many a times the Lord chastens them in that manner. But why does he now chasten them? Oh, in Hebrews 11, there I read that every son that the Lord loveth, he chastens. And he does it because we read, as many as I love. Do we not read in Hebrews 11, verse 12, now no chastening for the present is joyous but grievous, and nevertheless afterwards it beareth the peaceable fruits to them that are exercised thereby. The Psalmist in Psalm 119, the verses 67 and 71, there he has declared that before he was afflicted, he has went astray, but now under that chastening hand of the Lord, he was given to keep the statutes of the Lord, and to that end, the blessing, the dealings, oh, they are in love. Can a child of God understand it? No. Many times it is so mysterious, but now it is so necessary under that chastening hand of the Lord. Because do I not read in Micah 6 verse 9, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Thus the love of Christ, that he chastens his child in love to bring them back, to grant that closer life. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Seven times in the letters to these churches, we read that word repent. A few churches, two times. Two churches, those churches that are only commended, we do not read of repentance. But for the other churches, then it is the exhortation to repent. Then concerning that point, then the child is so dependent upon the Lord, and to that end, the necessity of prayer. Our forethought, a Christ serious knocking, and then we read, behold. Thus first we have heard of that counsel of advice to that church to buy gold, to buy that white raiment to cover their nakedness, and eye salve that they may see. But now in our fourth point, then we read a behold. Then we read of a knocking. Thus that is a stronger word than counsel and advice. Many times for the church, if they do not hear a sermon, then they are given to feel a sermon. If we think of the children of Israel in the days of old, how often the prophets that they have come unto them, rising up in the morning till late in the evening, weeping, begging, and beseeching them to turn from their wayward ways. And when they have not listened, then the Lord has come with greater judgments, that they may be given to return and to repent. And to that end, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We find a similar matter in the Song of Solomon. Oh, in the first chapters, what a love and what a desires and what a longing she has expressed for that bridegroom. But now in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, after she was married, then she was not so diligent so more. And then we read at the beginning of that chapter that the bridegroom, he had been on a long journey, concerning the welfare of the kingdom. And then he has returned in the night that he was covered with dew. And then he has knocked on that door that that bride may let him in. And then she has thought, I have put off my coat, as she was lying on the bed of slothfulness. And then she has not opened that door. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that has no stones to throw. Oh, in the beginning, then they thought it would never come to such a condition, but that they have become satisfied with what they have experienced, and that there is not those urgent longings with that blessed communion. Oh, we would think for that bride, after he has been on a long journey, that she would be looking out the window. Oh, so formerly it was, she has seen him as a reed in chapter 2 through the lattice of the word, but now she has stayed on that bed. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And now the Lord, he knocks on the door of our heart in many different ways. And now by nature, our heart, that door, has become so closed, has become locked, because of our deep fallen Adam, it is true. The door of our heart for the world and for the whisperings of Satan, then we are so quick to open it, then we are given to make time. But now concerning the knocking of the King of the Church, oh, by nature, then our heart is so closed, and our congregation, that must now become our guilt. And when the Lord converts a sinner, at least when we have become older, then everything is brought back. How loudly and how continually the Lord has knocked on the door of our heart, and under all that knocking, that the door of our heart has been remained closed. Oh, it is true, by nature we are unable, but we are also unwilling, and that both must become our guilt. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How many different ways that the Lord does not knock at the door of our heart, is it not? Each sermon that the Lord is knocking, open thy heart, my son, my daughter, give me thy heart. Do we not read it in Proverbs 23? Oh, what a words we have heard concerning what is necessary. Oh, our deep fallen Adam, our terrible condition by nature, under the wrath of God, but then also the knockings of the gospel, that it is declared that there is a way for the chiefest of sinners to be saved. Oh, young and old, has that now taken place? That under that knocking, that it truly has become a knocking. Oh, that it was a knocking that you could not put to the side, because undoubtedly, when there is still some impression of the truth of God's word, oh, then under a serious sermon, then you have thought, and now it must become different, and now I must change my life. I must seek the Lord. Oh, I must come on that marketplace of free and sovereign grace. And then Monday, maybe Tuesday, then that knocking, that ebbs away. What has it now taken place, congregation? That it was a knocking that you could not put aside. A knocking that became louder and louder. A knocking by the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the knockings of His Word, but also the knockings in divine providence. A sickness, when we are laid on the bed of sickness, Is the Lord then not knocking on the door of our heart? My son, my daughter, give me thy heart. When the Lord sends trials, when the Lord sends afflictions, when the Lord sends the cold hand of death amongst us and our children, is then the Lord not knocking on the door of our heart that we need that one thing needful, that we are traveling to a never-ending eternity? Oh, does the Lord not knock by the way of our conscience, still a blessing when we have a tender conscience, when our conscience may still speak, when it knocks loudly at the door of our heart? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Does the Lord not knock by His mercies and by His goodness? Because do I not read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, and not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? Oh, does the Lord not knock when He reveals a little of His power and of His might in the realm of nature, by the way of thunder, by the way of storms, by the way of hurricanes? Behold, I stand at the door of and knock. Thus that is a stronger admonition to the church of Laodicea. Oh, first He has counseled them to come to the marketplace of free and sovereign grace. But when a people does not come, then He comes at our doors and knocks. And then He asks, boy and girl, youth and older ones, I have not seen you on that marketplace. Oh, I have counseled you. I have invited. I have declared it was all free, without money and without price. But your place was empty. You have not come. You have not purchased. And therefore, in my patient long-suffering and in my goodness, then I am coming with those louder knocks, that you may clearly hear with your ears, but that you may also perceive with your heart. Oh, what is now necessary concerning that knocking? Oh, that we may be given to beg for the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may hear the voice of the Lord. Do we not read in Psalm 50 verse 1, the Almighty God, even the Lord, has spoken from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof? Then in this morning, then the Lord is counseling, then the Lord is knocking. Oh, then the Lord is declaring that one thing needful. And now further, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear, that declares that there shall be a people. Oh, by nature, then we are so deaf. Then we are not willing to hear. Then we cannot hear. But if any man hear, there Christ is declaring that there shall be a people that shall hear. Has that now ever taken place? That we have come to church, opened the Bible, and that it has become so completely different. Could not give it a name, not understand what it was. Maybe you thought ministers start preaching different. But has that now become true? That we were given to hear, and that it was a knocking that we could not put aside. Maybe you've even tried for a little while to drown it away. But impossible, that knocking became louder, that it became clear, and that you were given to surrender, that you were given to weep over all those knockings that you have refused. Think back serious sermons. Maybe you have even made promises. Maybe a death that you received such a deep impression. Oh, that you thought if that had now been me, then I would have been eternally lost. But that sooner or later that it was put aside and you have continued, maybe even a greater sinner can be multiplied out. If any man hear my voice and open the door, does not say in the scripture that we are able, that we do not find in one place in the Bible, but in our text it is given to declare the wonderful work of the Lord. Oh, upon that powerful knocking, when the Lord may take possession of our heart, then he has a willing people, and then we are given to ask the Lord that he may dwell in that heart. Oh, then that people learn that it is such an evil heart. Then they are given to lament over that stony heart. That is now a sign. That is now a mark of those that have received the heart of flesh, that they are given to lament much over that stony heart. But now, if any man hear thy voice, that is by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is a people that are given to hunger and thirst after the living God. That is a people that cannot live without the Lord and his blessed communion. That is for a people for whom sin has become sin and guilt has truly become guilt. That is a people that needs a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a people that learns that they cannot save themselves. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, that is by grace, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What a precious promise for that church, for that lukewarm church, when upon that knocking, when by renewal they receive those lively exercises and they are given to hear his voice and to open that door. And then it speaks of supping in Bible times in third world countries when there is a communal meal that has a special meaning. If we think of Abraham and Isaac, when there have come differences concerning wells and lands, then they have come together and they have spoken of their differences. They have solved them. And then upon the completion of this, when they were given to negotiate, then it was closed with a special meal that they were together and that prove the ratification of the covenant that they have made. When we think of the peace offerings in the book of Leviticus, then it was also a communal meal. The fatty parts, the best parts, they were for the Lord. The breast and the right shoulder for the officiating priest. And then those that have brought their sacrifice, they have, in the vicinity of the tabernacle, think of Elkanah and his two wives in 1 Samuel 1. Then they were partakers to eat the rest of that animal. We can mention another example. Think Levi in Matthew 9, when Christ has called him from behind the receipt of customs and he was given to follow. And then he has invited fellow publicans And then they have made a big meal. And Jesus and his disciples, they were invited. Thus, when we read that he would come in unto himself with him and he with me, that is a meal of communion. That is a meal of friendship. That is a meal of the ratification of a covenant and in Oriental lands. We read of different suppers in the New Testament, in the Gospel, when the king was given to make a marriage and he sent those servants out and invited them to come that supper. It would be very rude and very impolite not to accept that invitation. Oh, then in our text words, then we read of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he had to write as that true and faithful witness that it was a lukewarm church, that he thought that they were rich and that he had need of nothing. But then he has declared their condition and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Then we see the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his church, for his people, that he is given to counsel, that he is knocking on the door of their heart, and that he has a desire that he may sup with them. Then we could speak of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. May there be souls in our midst that are given to hunger and thirst after those blessed things. What would the love of Christ declared in our text for that lukewarm church? Oh, then it is true. Then he has warned them that he would spew them out of their mouth. He has used very strong language that they may be awakened out of their slumbering sleep. That they may be given to cry, that they may come by renewal on the marketplace to buy that gold, to receive a further instruction, a further blessing. Oh, even that he has come, that he has knocked on the door of their heart, as we read in the Song of Solomon. Oh, then the love of Christ is declared. Is it the same in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5? Then he has put his hand to the hole of the door, and it is dripped with myrrh, and that myrrh that speaks of the sufferings and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that bride was awakened out of her sleep. And what has she done? Then she was given to rise. Then she has opened the door. She sought him, but she found him not. But then it was used that she became exercised. Then she has went through the streets looking for her beloved, but he was gone. Then that exercised bride, then she came so low that she has even sought the help of the daughters of Jerusalem. Then she has spoken of her bride, and then they have said, but what is thy beloved more than our beloveds? Then a heart inflamed with love. My beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Let us first sing. Psalter 255, the stanzas 2 and 4. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah, whom we sing. Over idol gods victorious, great is he, our God and King. And what follows, 255, 2 and 4.
Thank you.
Our fifth thought, Christ's everlasting triumph. And then we read to him that overcometh. We read those words at the end of each of the seven letters that Christ has written to the churches in Asia Minor. From the Lord's side, then the salvation of the church lies so firm. The work of a triune God, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the applying work of the Holy Spirit. I read in Philippians 1 verse 6, and being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you shall finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. There is no falling out of grace. And yet at the end of each letter, he that overcometh, that was a word of examination. And for the true child of God, when it is tender, when it is close, then they are given to often examine themselves concerning how it is, concerning their condition, concerning their state, and concerning that assurance. And now each time by renewal, then Christ is given to exhort his church, he that overcometh. Then Christ is declaring that it is a militant church here below, that three-headed enemy. Oh, he that overcometh, that should incite to prayer in the life of the child of God, that they may seek their help from above. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Ah, the church learns that if the Lord would withdraw his hand for a single moment, then it would be eternally lost. And the church learns that they need those everlasting arms. We read in Matthew 24, verse 13, that he that shall endure to the end, he shall be saved. And that now becomes more and more the wonder for the church, that they may still continue on that journey, that the Lord still upholds them, that the Lord still grants those special tokens of his favor, that the Lord grants the strengthening of their faith to him that overcometh. Ah, do we not read in the scriptures of those that have not overcome? Think of those 5 virgins, 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They both had lamps. But those 5, they have come to a closed door. They have cried. Undoubtedly, they have also knocked. Open, Lord. But the door was shut. Think of Judas. But for the church, he that overcometh, and the church shall overcome. And why? Because of that precious mediator. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to that end, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, and that in a twofold way, partakers of his honor and glory, all for the church. What shall that be at the end, when they have overcome through him, through him, through him alone, because he has went before? Then they shall receive a place of honor and glory, and Do we not read in the Corinthians that the saints shall also judge the world, even as I also overcame? Ah, then Christ, to arouse that lukewarm church, counseling, knocking, and now at the end of this letter, but he that overcometh, it is through him that is overcome, even as I also overcame. We read in 1 Peter that there is written that the church, that they are partakers of the suffering of Christ, not to understand it in the way of merit. The sufferings of Christ, they were to merit a salvation for his church. But Christ, this says, follow me, walk in my footsteps, my child. And then in the walking of the footsteps of Christ, then they also become partakers of that suffering of Christ. Christ has said to his disciples in John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you, even as I also overcame. Ah, then Christ, then he has drawn out his church that they may be given to consider what he has done, the great strife, the great warfare, that he was called to fight as the servant of the Father. Oh, then he is given to remind the church of Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Calvary, 3-hour darkness, forsaken of God, the great warfare with the prince of darkness, even as I overcame. Then Christ, to remind that church in Laodicea that was so lukewarm, to point them to his sufferings, that is the marrow of the gospel, even as I overcame, that he has cried out, it is finished, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Thus in those words, then Christ is given to point that church to his resurrection. He has overcame. He was risen from the dead. Do I not read in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Then Christ is given to point his children in the church to his ascension. And then Christ is given to point the church to his sitting at the right hand of the Father, from whence he gathereth, whether he preserves, and from thence he gathers his church, and sat down with my Father in his throne. Ah, that shall be the blessed portion by grace for the people of God, that at the end of this strife here below this Meshach, then sighing and sorrow shall flee away. And then when Christ says, and sit with me in my throne, does not mean they have the same place as Christ. Because boys and girls, you can remember that Christ has a special place, and that is at the right hand of the Father. Nevertheless, they shall receive a place in heaven. And in the following chapter, then we read of the church, those 24 elders, points to the 12 tribes in the Old Testament, 12 apostles in the New Testament. Oh, then concerning that throne, that they are given to cast their crown at the foot of the Lamb, that he may receive all the honor and the glory. Thus the last letter for the church, a lengthy letter, a deep letter, a profound letter, and an instructive letter. And that letter now also comes to us, congregation. And then we have much to examine and much to think about. And a few weeks ago, we have learned about the condition of that church. And the Lord has a people upon the earth. Oh, they know times when it is different, but that they have to lament that they resemble too much this church. But now the callings I counsel thee to buy, O young and old, then that message may still come to us. And how is it now with us? We have told you that history of that landowner, that those people, they have stood outside, they have talked much. Maybe they have compared their debt. And maybe the one said to the other, but your debt is greater than mine, so you should first go. And then if you are successful, then we shall come. But then we have heard it, that all except that old man and his wife, they have remained outside talking. And they had to go home with their great debt, which they did not know how to pay. But, oh, that old husband and wife, they were given to simply believe and trust, and they have entered, and their debts were forgiven, young and old. What an instruction, what shall it be for that people in that story? Then perhaps they had another rich friend that could help them. But if we come to the end of our life, and then, what shall we then do with our sins? And then, the end of our life, then that counsel shall no longer come unto us. Do I not read in Proverbs 1, the verses 24 through 26, because I have called and ye have received, refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but has set a counsel all my not. Therefore I will laugh at your calamity, and mock when thy fear cometh, but today is still the day of grace, and therefore I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant the application of the Holy Spirit. A word that need has never been experienced. May that need be felt, sorely felt in this day, by the opening of the eyes by thy Spirit. And, Lord, where thou hast begun, wilt thou teach more and more, that it is without money and without price, that it is through him that was given to leave his father's habitation, that is tabernacled among the children of men, and who was overcame, and who sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he gathereth, he preserveth, and he defendeth this church, and at the appointed time, then thy child shall be taken home to receive a place in glory, and there to magnify thy great and worthy name. Lord, remember us in the furtherance of this day. Wilt thou in a special way help and remember the brother elder who may read a sermon, make it an easy task for him, a grant him opening at the throne of grace. Lord, then we may acknowledge thee, where in the past week it was Thanksgiving Day, and where thou hast provided the means, and also given liberal hearts. Wilt thou bless the givers and the gifts. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 422, the stanzas 6 and 7. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is ever our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God, our shield, is over us. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. Catechism classes will begin tomorrow evening at 7:15 p.m. for all those in grade 7 and older. Confession of faith classes will also begin tomorrow evening at 8:30 p.m. if there are others who are not at the registration evening but wish to attend classes, they are welcome to come. The Thanksgiving Day collection brought up the total sum of $547,798, for which we next to the Lord heartily thank the congregation. And the new banner of truth is at the exit. Psalter 422, the stanzas 6 and 7. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.